Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts. Hey, what's up, man?
All right, the holiday is over. It's time to get back to work. I'm looking at you, Congress. We have your agenda for the week ahead this morning, and we're joined by Maggie Haberman, senior political writer for Politico. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and our flagship station, WNYC New York Public Radio. All right, you have the microphone right in front of you, so that's all I see.
That's all you see. There I am.
Hello. Are you hiding, Charlie?
I'm hiding from the Black Friday shop
pressure.
All right, well, you can't hide from Black Friday because this turned out to be a really good news for retailers. I mean, right, sales in the U.S. climbed 16%. We hit a record total of $52.4 billion. That's according to numbers from the National Retail Federation. The average shopper, now this stunned me, spent almost $400. So, this is unmitigated good news.
Yeah, it's definitely good news for the retailers this weekend. The question, I hate to be like, you know, Mr. Negative here, but does it last? Is it a short-term bump? You know, there's so much like promotion and publicity, and the stores are opening earlier, and it's just so much excitement to get people there. It's almost like a national pastime to go shop over Thanksgiving weekend. That the question is, does this last? And I think that's one reason why you see all these other marketing gimmicks in a way. The Cyber Monday today, people back in the office.
Small Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday. Green Monday. That's the last day that you can buy something online and get it in time for the holidays. Free Shipping Friday. You've got a lot of retailers who are jumping in. I saw a story that Mattel was having, you know, the red day and blue, I mean, blue day and pink day to get people out to buy gifts for boys and girls.
Desperation Wednesday.
So, you know, the thing is, you got to keep this momentum going. And, you know, it's definitely a good sign, but clearly there's that problem overseas.
I got to tell you, Charlie, that, you know, say what you will, but if we had not had record sales, it would be Black Monday.
Yeah, definitely. So it's definitely a good sign. How long we've still got a couple weeks to go.
All right. So let's go to that problem you were talking about overseas, which is actually not overseas today. Today, it's in Washington, where they're having the U.S.-EU summit. But at this point, Maggie, what kind of political fallout does this have for the president? Is he expected by his own population at this point to take a more aggressive role?
No, I think that what's happening right now with the president is the president needs to show some form of leadership because it obviously does impact what happens in the U.S. I don't know the extent to which voters are actually making that connection. You are seeing an electorate right now that is so firmly focused on what's happening in the U.S. with the jobs market here, not seeing that this is part of a global economy. And so I think the president is doing what he needs to do. I don't think anybody has high hopes for this.
Maybe they just have their hands over their eyes and are refusing.
Exactly.
They're in denial.
And the danger is, you know, there's nothing that he can really specifically do. And yet what Europe is sort of facing right now is a situation of possible downgrades to their economies, to their ability
going back into recession.
And the worry is that you get into this really vicious cycle that if a company like Moody's, one of these rating agencies, says that a lot of European countries are in bad shape, then it costs more for them to borrow, then that costs more, then you need more of a bailout, then that starts, it basically it's this downward cycle that the U.S. could get pulled into like a whirlpool. And there's not really a whole lot that Congress or the White House can do, but you can be sure the president will probably get blamed for it.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure he'll get blamed for it. But at this point, let's talk about the European leaders themselves. What kind of consensus? Do they have any consensus
no.
at all?
No. I mean, I think on a regular basis, you see them not coming. They come to agreement when there is a crisis that flares up. They sort of deal with it.
Although the central bank is buying Italian debt this morning. That they're in solidarity about at least.
They're slowly making changes. I mean, you've got this problem where I've said this before. It's like you have, you know, 50 individual, if all 50 states here made their own economic policy, you know, to try and get them to all come together, it usually takes a crisis to do it.
So what is this that's sending the markets? I mean, the Dow's up at 260 points in futures right now.
It could be, you know, who knows?
It was
really bad last week, and now we've got Black Friday this week.
Yeah, all right. So, well, let's talk about Congress. As I said earlier, they are back in session today after a break. Wednesday, President Obama, we're going to be hearing about his American Jobs Act again. He's going straight to the voters in Pennsylvania, but I just want to remind you, Senate Republicans filibustered the entire plan as a bulk whole. So since then, the Democrats have been trying to pass pieces and parts of it. Right now, the portion that's on the table is this extension of the payroll tax cuts for small businesses. And let's take a listen to New York Senator Chuck Schumer. He's talking about these cuts on NBC's Meet the Press.
It would give middle-class families about $1,000 extra in their pockets. The average family would get that. It would boost the economy, and we pay for it with a small surtax on incomes over $1 million.
He makes that sound so simple.
It actually is the simplest stimulus there is, though,
it is.
Shutting
right.
down the payroll tax.
Absolutely. That's right, but it's also politically a hot button with Republicans. And so right now, Republicans have no incentive to go along with this because Republicans are being very heavily driven in Congress by the Tea Party agenda and not looking as if they are allowing certain taxes to be raised, other taxes to be cut. Right now, there is a concern about extending this because it impacts Social Security. And so that's become the big buzzword. I do not expect this to pass, but I could be wrong. I don't. But I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
You feel like Republicans at this point are being driven by their Tea Party members and not by the general polls. I mean, most Americans.
I do.
I mean, doesn't this fall? It's so interesting because this falls in the category of, in a way, it is a tax increase.
Yeah.
Because it's been in effect for so long, it's like a tax cut that we've had.
That is correct. But on the other hand, we're dealing with the inverse, bizarre universe of Washington right now. And when we've seen what's happened with the debt committee, when we've seen what is that, which on the one hand was a not surprising failure. And on the other hand, the implications are dramatic. And you are now about to see Congress go into a huge overdrive to try to undo everything that will tip off sequestration there. I do not expect anything major to happen. But again, I could be wrong. We'll see.
And there's a lot of things they have to negotiate. I mean, they have to fund the government.
Right.
It's going to run out again
December
16th. That's exactly right.
So you've also got not only the tax cuts, but you have the unemployment benefits,
Well, let's talk about these unemployment benefits. I mean, what happens if those do expire?
Well, if those expire, I mean, the state provided tax benefit. I mean, unemployment benefits are about 26 weeks.
Yeah.
So if these are left to expire, these federal benefits, after 26 weeks, you'll be out. You won't have unemployment benefits unless the state has come up with some program. This has been extended before. The maximum you can get up to is 99 weeks. There are some conditions for how you get it. And, there's some people who've been arguing that these long-term unemployment benefits actually lead to people not looking for jobs. But I think, by and large, most people, if they can get a job in this economy, they're trying to work.
Yeah.
I don't think people are necessarily just resting on their laurels. So, the unemployment benefit is something that could expire, really hit a lot of people. So if the taxes go up, you have fewer people getting unemployment benefits. There are a lot of economists who think that could have a real impact on the overall economic growth.
And
throw in Europe.
The unemployment number is not expected to change anytime soon.
No, that comes out Friday, not expected to change.
No. That is Charlie Herman, economics editor for The Takeaway and our flagship station, WNYC New York Public Radio, and Maggie Haberman, senior political writer for Politico, with your agenda. Later on this hour, we're going to—I don't know if you guys know this, but The Takeaway is writing our own Christmas song with the help of our listeners.
Because there's such an overwhelming need.
Is that one? Okay.
There's not enough Christmas music. So, I just want to ask you both, do you have a favorite holiday song, Maggie?
Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells,
yep.
Favorite song?
It's really safe.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
I'm playing
dreidel,
it
dreidel. He's going with the Hanukkah song. One of the guidelines is, of course, to include Christmas in the title. Neither of you picked a Christmas.
We weren't told the rules in advance.
Okay.
We were playing by
There you go. That's your agenda. Thanks so much.
Have yourselves a merry little agenda, guys.